And we continue our one-on-one candidate interviews here on KHUM. Today, we're talking with district attorney candidates, and joining me here in the studio is Ilan Firpo. How are you doing?
I'm well. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for coming in here in the rain. Appreciate that. Making it down here. Alrighty. So, today it's you and Maggie Fleming, and you guys, we were mentioning this off air, are probably winning the lawn sign war, which is good. Now we'll actually get to hear what you guys are all about. So I guess just real briefly, just give us your background.
Sure. My family moved up here in the 80s. I went to college at the Redwoods. My father moved up here to retire as a highway patrolman in the Garberville office. I loved living here, but I wanted to be an engineer, so I became a mechanical engineer. I went to Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo, and I stayed down in that area, and I worked in the high-tech industry. I specifically designed magnetic recording heads, which is a dead technology. They were for computer hard drives.
Sure.
And doing that, I traveled around the world and managed facilities and companies and people and programs and projects and just have a wealth of information and experience about being a manager. I also designed implantable biomedical devices and other computer components. So I was down there for about 13 years, but I wanted to come home. When my children were born, I didn't want to travel around the world anymore. So I went to law school at night so that I could come home to Humboldt County. I went to Santa Barbara College of Law, and the first place I applied when I finished was here in Humboldt County so I could be near my parents and bring my kids home to my parents in Fortuna. When I was going through law school, I worked during the day for a private defense attorney, and then I've been here since 2009. So I have about 20 years of relevant experience altogether, about 8 years as an attorney and then the rest as a manager in the engineering field. So I feel like that breadth of experience, the management experience and the law experience, is very relevant to the Office of District Attorney.
Now, you currently work in the DA's office, correct?
And I'm the only candidate that currently works in the DA's office. I'm a senior felony prosecutor. I'm prosecuting the Bodie Tree double murder trial right now. I'll do that starting at 8:30 today and for the rest of the day. So I am the senior prosecutor there now. Having been there these last 5 years, I've seen the way things have changed, and I have, I believe, very strong ideas and a solid plan to move the office forward from where it is right now.
Well, let's hear about that solid plan. What are your priorities as DA?
Sure. When I started, the office had 18 attorneys, and now it has 12. And I have a plan to build the staffing of attorneys back to 20, and to do that through grant funding in part because we need vertical prosecutors. Right now, I'm a generalist prosecutor. I prosecute everybody who commits a felony whose last name falls between D and J. And just every felony. And then sometimes if there's a more serious case that needs to be handed to a senior prosecutor, I get that too, like Bodie Tree and Gary Bullock. So what I would like to do is have prosecutors that just focus on one area of law, that's all they do. And one of the first programs I would like to rebuild is the CAST program, which is child abuse and child sexual assault. We need a full-time vertical prosecutor that just does that case law. We also need one for marijuana. We need one for domestic violence. We need one for environmental law and such. So I have a plan to have 6 vertical prosecutors, one prosecutor that's dedicated to doing murder trials. So right now I'm doing the murder trial, but I also have my regular caseload. I'm still prosecuting everybody whose last name falls between D and J. We need a person that's assigned to just do murder trials when they have a murder trial. And if you put that together with how many courtrooms we have, that's 20 attorneys. So my first plan would be to work with the Board of Supervisors, work on grant applications, and make better use of managing the people we currently have in the office so that we can build our staffing.
Why has the prosecutorial staff dropped to such a small level at this point?
You know, there's been funding issues. We haven't had the grant-funded positions, and we haven't had those cases have gone into general distribution, and the workload has increased dramatically. And I could have left the office by now and gotten a much better-paying job, which required a lot less work and a lot less stress, but I went to law school so I could be a prosecutor and come home to Humboldt County, so I'm completely dedicated to this job. But the other candidates and other people have all just burnt out. The workload just becomes overwhelming, so it's easier to leave and go to another department and county or go into private practice and make more money for less work.
So with regard to policy and operation, what would you do differently from the current administration?
There's a lot of things I like about the current administration. I feel very strongly about civil liberties and nobody's above the law and such. But I would like to bring the department into a modern era, which is prison realignment, which has us not allowed to send people unless they commit serious and violent felonies to prison, and the marijuana prosecution. So those two areas specifically. I believe we need to restructure the way we prosecute and who we are prosecuting with an eye towards where we want them to end up. There are some people that need to be in custody because they're a danger to public safety, and those are the repeat offenders, the people that would otherwise be in prison and know they're not going to prison, and so they're committing crimes over and over and really just preying on the rest of us. And probably we could write 50 names on a piece of paper, and those people are just not eligible for plea deals anymore. They need to stay in custody. And then the other thing is marijuana. I believe in the next DA's administration, it will become legalized. So we need to adjust the way we prosecute it. We prosecute it now under the Health and Safety Code, using a beyond reasonable doubt standard through the criminal courts. We need to start thinking of it as something that will be legal, that we want to take control of as if it was a business like any other, and use the civil code, fair business practices, injunctions when people are abusing the earth and need to repair it, liens on property when we need the environmental repair done and they haven't done it themselves, so that when it becomes legalized, we can transition more easily over to dealing with it that way. The marijuana, the green leafy plant, is not the problem. The problem is the crime that comes along with it. And the large grows that have attracted criminals to our county, we need to focus on those. We should be a tourist destination because it's just so beautiful here. And in some areas, we've become a criminal destination, and we really need to put an end to that.
So plea bargains are a big part of the campaign, and a big part of any district attorney's office, a valuable tool in that any district attorney has to rely on. But there have been some very high-profile plea bargains here in Humboldt County. What's your view on plea bargains?
Well, plea bargains, as you've heard, I'm sure, from everybody, are absolutely necessary. The system would come to a grinding halt if we don't have them. And I'm an easy target because I'm the only candidate that's working in the office right now. So there have been plenty of plea dispositions that have come and gone during this campaign that were not getting any attention because none of those people are running for DA. I did... And I will say that the other candidates have tried to generate more drama than is really there in some of these plea bargains. I did hear Mr. Klein's interview the other day where he was talking about a DUI that resulted in the person getting 12 years. In fact, that was Brooke Hames. She was not on probation for DUI. She struck a minivan when she was speeding on Broadway and killed the person. And I was able to get 12 years in prison for her for vehicular manslaughter. And what's important about that is... I was recognized by MAD, the national organization, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, as the outstanding prosecutor of the year in that year for that case. That was one of the cases they mentioned, that was really an outstanding result. So that is a case I'm very proud of that was done very well, and that person got far more time than usual in a plea bargain, sparing the family who was very, very badly damaged from having to go through a trial. So the fact that another candidate's trying to use that as an example of what we shouldn't do in the office and poor plea bargaining is really fairly egregious conduct. And that other case, the same thing. I had been working with the family, everything was going along, and then another candidate became involved and just exploded it. So I handed it off. I asked Paul to please reassign it because it was becoming so volatile and really unnecessary. It was really harming the community. And when I resolved that case, I talked to the family, I talked to law enforcement, probation reviewed it, and they all agreed with me. So it was maybe not my best political move to bargain and plea disposition that case during the campaign, but my job has to come first. And so I did the right thing for that case, knowing that it would probably generate publicity that was negative, but it still needed to be done. And now we'll wait and see what happens.
Now that you've been on the campaign trail with the four candidates, you've had many different debates. You've probably gotten to know them pretty well. How would you differentiate yourself from the other candidates? What sets you apart from them?
Sure. Well, I'm the only one that hasn't quit the office. I'm the one that stayed. And you know, others have been offered leadership roles in the office and turned them down because it's a lot of darn work. I was telling somebody the other day, they said you must be so overwhelmed having to work all day on your campaign and then also on your work. But I think this level of involvement is what's required to be district attorney. This level of work is going to be going on in 2015, 2016 to get the office back together. So my work ethic and the fact I've stayed, but also my management experience. You don't pick that up. There's no law school component that includes management, and you certainly don't pick it up in the courtroom. We're not vying for most senior trial deputy. We're vying for district attorney, the district attorney should not be reviewing every plea disposition that goes through the courthouse. You know, that is why you have a staff of trained attorneys that you can trust and that are responsible and are doing a good job for the community. The DA should be working politically with outside organizations, with agencies, setting policies, setting protocols, working on the budget and administration. And I have that skill set, and none of the other candidates do.
So you mentioned marijuana. The other big issue in our community regarding drugs is methamphetamine. How would you handle cases against producers, sellers, and users?
You know, that's good about that question. It is three separate questions.
Absolutely.
One of the things I see most in my work is that there's a lot of people with mental health issues that are on the streets, and they're self-medicating with street drugs, and often methamphetamine, sometimes heroin. We need to work with law enforcement and probation and resources and find that small, relatively small percentage of the population and find them housing and minders so they stay on their psychotropic meds. And then there are dealers. And my policy on dealers is they are a public safety issue and they need to be in custody. So that was part of realignment. Dealers don't go to prison anymore. So I recently had a case where the man had five open felony files for selling methamphetamine. He was just egregious. And I said to him, no plea deal for you. None. We're done. He had a trial and he got 12 years in jail in local custody. And that sends a message because the next guy I had got 7 years. And that sends a message. We're not tolerating meth dealers in our community because they're a public safety issue. And I realize that won't win a war on drugs, that there's always going to be backfill. But it helps us because that brings us to the third category, which is addicts. And they commit property crimes, crimes that are quality of life crimes to the rest of us, getting your car broken into, coming home and finding your house has been opened. And they're really trying to feed their addiction. And realignment has given more money to probation and services than we've ever had before. So those people shouldn't be in custody. That's a waste of the limited resource of jail. They should be getting treatment and, you know, having a stick held over their head so they work on getting their treatment. But we need to bring them back into the community and not treat them as criminals. Try to help them with their addiction issues and their underlying issues, which are usually economic, mental health as well, housing. There's lots of things that go on that cause people to take up methamphetamine.
Who's endorsing your campaign?
One of the points of my campaign was I was tired of the Paul and anti-Paul era. I was in the office in 2010. It's just exhausting. So I purposely, when I was starting my campaign, went across this large county and found people that represent all the different demographics to bring them together. So I have five co-chairs who are my most ardent endorsers. That's Neil Ewald from Green Diamond Resource, Fred Sundquist, who owns City Ambulance, who's a local businessman in Eureka, Michael Evanson, who's a rancher in Southern Humboldt, well-respected there. Patty Clary, who's an environmentalist, mostly in Northern Humboldt area. And John Woolley, who's a progressive from the Arcata area. So all five of them advise me and work together and work for me on my campaign. And I think that's very, very important to this community because we really need to go through a healing process. We need to be done with the politics of good versus evil, contrived good versus evil, and be working on helping our community. And I have many other endorsers I'm very happy about, but that five group was really the point of my campaign.
Okay, very good. And, of course, a campaign can't exist without financing, of course. Where does your financing come from?
Let's see. So my campaign manager, who also works for City Ambulance, is Jason Chand. He's probably got us all beat for in-kind donations because we're careful to keep track of where that money goes. Neil Ewald is a substantial contributor. And then myself, I think between the three of us, we comprise the largest group. It's about $20,000 probably. And then after that, we have a great many people tied for third, fourth, fifth. Schmidbauer Lumber gave me $2,000, and then quite a few other people gave me $1,000. And after that, I have a large support group. People send me $25, $50, $100, people I don't know, you know, and I just send them thank you notes. I'm very appreciative. So it's a large number of people, but the primary contributors are not people to whom I would be beholden after the campaign, which is, again, very, very important to me. The DA needs to be a non-political, non-partisan position, and that's nobody's above the law, so I'm purposely taking money only from places to whom I won't be beholden after the campaign.
And unfortunately, we are out of time, so I'll give you the last 15 seconds to wrap things up.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. My name's Elan Firpo. I'm sure I'm the only Elan Firpo on the planet. It's a highly unusual combination. So you can find me by just hitting Google, elanfirpo.com, Elan Firpo for DA. If you go onto Facebook, you can like me and get updates on my campaign, and I would appreciate that very much.
All righty. Elan Firpo, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.